Open your Bibles to Job, the book of Job, chapter 22. Job, chapter 22. Praise the Lord. Job, chapter 22. I want to look down in verse 12 through 14. Hallelujah. There are times in our lives in which we feel like that God is not around. Amen. There are times that we go through when we feel like that God is not watching, He's not listening. There are some that even believe that He does not do these things, that He basically created the world, and He let it go at its own mercy. Let it go at His own strength, and He has no interaction with His creation. How many of you understand that's a lie? Amen. That God does have interaction with His creation. Job chapter 22, verse 12. If you have it, can you say amen? Is not God, and this is Eliphaz, if that's the correct pronunciation, but he is the one speaking here. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through a dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him, that he seeth not, and he walketh not in the circuit of heaven. I want us to look back at verse 13. And particularly the question there, how doth God know? Can he judge through a dark cloud? The question I believe that Eliphaz was saying and asking here is simply this. Can God see through a dark cloud? Can God see through a dark cloud? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you will give us strength. We pray, Almighty God, that you will give us the anointing that we need for this hour and time in which we are in now. God, we pray that you will minister, O God, to us. I know that there are hurting souls, O God, not only in this church, but in churches around in this area right now. There are hurting lives. And I pray, God, that you will rip the veil, O God, and begin to minister to the hurting needs and hurting lives. God, we pray even this morning, God, that the greatest of all hurts, O God, that if there's one that's lost, oh God, of this place, they will come to know you as Savior and as Lord. God, we give you all the glory right now, and we seek your anointing in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, Almighty God, in the house said, amen, amen. Just to throw out a couple of theological terms, they're not very big words. Of course, you understand theology is the study of God. Theism is the belief. Is the belief in God, because we understand what the word atheism means. Atheism is somebody that doesn't believe in God. But there is also what is called a terminology in which I just described to you just a few minutes ago called deism, in which that their belief is that God did their There is a creator, there is a divine creator, but basically that he created the universe, set the stars in order, set the world in order, set everything, and the planets rotating, and yet he has no interaction with his creation. He has nothing whatsoever to do with his creation. He doesn't interact, he doesn't help, he doesn't bless, he doesn't feed, he doesn't minister to, he has no kind of interaction with his creation. And again, I say, this is a lie. Because how many of you are thankful this morning that you got here because God interacted with you? Amen. That God interacted with you, that he is a part of your life and he touched you, and every now and then we can feel a little heavenly touch from above and thank God for his presence and his goodness and mercy to us. It is if Eliphaz is saying, and of course you know the story, or most of you may know the story of Job, some may not, but a lot of us know the story of Job because we can identify with him. We've gone through something where we've lost everything. We've lost spouses. We've lost families. We've lost loved ones. We've lost everything. We've lost houses and everything else we've lost. We can identify with Job. And Job had, number one, the only thing that God left him, we always say, is a nagging wife. And then he left him some nagging friends. And with friends like that, who really needs enemies? But here are these friends, and I know that they meant well. I know that they were trying to do well by Job, and they were trying to encourage him, or in their own strange, bizarre way, and saying that, Job, perhaps you sinned, and perhaps you've fallen. That's why you're in the mess that you're in, is because you're in sin. That's why you're going through the things that you're going through. That's why bad things happen to good people. Is because somewhere along the way they messed up and they were in sin and caught in sin. And that's what his friends are trying to tell Job. These so-called friends are trying to say to Job is the fact that you've got sin in your life, and that's why that you have problems in your life. I want to tell you this morning that if you feel that way, there again, that's another lie. Because can I tell you this morning, I believe that things, whether good things or bad things, The book said that they come to the just and to the unjust. They happen to the righteous and they happen to the unrighteous. They happen to the rich and they happen to the poor. They happen to the wealthy. They happen to the destitute. They happen to the saved and they happen to the unsaved. Doesn't matter what state you're in. Jesus said in this life you will have trouble. You will have difficulty in this life. And the problem is that so many times we associate our problems and our difficulties with the character of God. But the book said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I changeth not. And no matter what I go through, it doesn't change God. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change his nature. It doesn't change his character. It doesn't change his holiness. It doesn't matter what you go through in your life. You could be going through cancer right now, but it doesn't change who God is. You could have lost a loved one, or you could have gone through some financial difficulty. Doesn't matter what you're going through, because what I'm going through does not dictate about who God is. God is still God. He's on the throne. He's in control of our life. Even when it seems like that all hell is breaking loose, God is still in control and has the authority. And even when we scratch our heads and wonder, why God did this have to happen? And why God do I have to go through this? God is still in control of our lives. This is what Eliphaz said to Job. He said, well, God can't see through a dark. He didn't have time to bother with you. He didn't have time to look on you. He didn't have time to minister to you. God cannot see. He is high and lofty and holy, and he cannot see through a dark cloud to minister to your needs. Why don't you just go ahead and admit that you're in sin and get on with life? That's what Eliphaz was saying. Why don't you go ahead and just admit that you messed up somewhere and that you cursed God at some point in time in your life? And why don't you go ahead and just admit that and realize that God isn't coming down to help your need and to help your situations in life? But can I tell you this morning, he asked the question, can God see through a dark cloud? I'm thankful this morning that God can see through a dark cloud. I'm thankful this morning that God can see through the darkest of night. He is the light of this world, and I'm thankful this morning that God can see even in the midst of the darkest situations. My God has 100 vision, and he can see through anything. He can see through a dark cloud. Number one, he can see through the dark cloud of sin. He can see through the dark. Let me talk to the sinners just for a moment if I can. He can see through the dark cloud of sin. There again, it would seem like, and we talk about the patience of Job and how patient Job was. And mind you, he never sinned in the fact that he never cursed God, because that's what his wife wanted him to do. Why don't you curse God and die? And with wives like that, why do you need enemies too? Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job never cursed God. And he never spoke against God. But the one fault that I could find with Job is still the wonderment of why, God, were you letting this happen to me? Never cursed God. Said, naked I came into the world and naked I'll leave. I will bless the Lord. I will bless him always. I will give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. He never stopped worshiping God. But there was somewhere in the back of his mind that he had to wonder, God, what's taking so long? I'm sorry, I forgot I was supposed to preach to religious folk this morning and not any real folk that ever gone through any problems. If y'all want me to preach a religious message, I'll preach on salvation, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost or some kind of doctrine. But it may do for a little bit, but it won't help you right now. Hello? It won't help you with some of the things that you're going through right now. I need some real people to talk to this morning that have walked through the fire and yet they're still sane and they haven't got burnt. They came through the flood and they didn't drown. They went through the problems in their life and they still got the clothes on and in the right mind. They went through everything they were going through, yet by the grace of God, thank God. He gives us that grace. God could see through a dark cloud of sin. Job begins to cry out. In fact, here's what Job cries out in chapter 31. He says, oh, that one would hear me. And behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that my eyes where my adversary had written it in a book. He liked to say that a lot. I wish it was written engraved in a rock forever. I wish somebody had wrote it. So some things I wish that some folks would write down what I said, and there's some things I wish they'd turn the camera off on or turn the tape off of. But can I tell you, that's what Job said. I wish that if I had a chance to talk to God, I wish I could tell him how righteous I was. I wish I could tell him how right I was. I wish I could tell him how holy I have been throughout all. Aren't you thankful that God didn't answer him according to his desire? Don't you ever go to God and say, God, give me what I deserve, because we all deserved hell. We deserved judgment. Thank God he didn't give me what I deserve, but he gave me eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank God he didn't give me. Don't you ever get high and holy and say, why don't you give me what I deserve, God? God might just do it. Some of you might need a knock on the head and God might just do it. God, why don't you let me tell you how righteous and holy I am. But I believe it was somewhere in about the 36th chapter, God had to put a stop to all of this mess. He finally had to put a stop to all of this mess. And he began to ask Job some questions. He asked Job some important kind of questions. Like this, Job, since you're so righteous and you're so holy and you know everything that needs to happen in your life, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? My God in heaven, were you there when I hung the stars and the moon and laid them in order? Can you speak to the water and say you've only got to come so far and you can't come anymore? Or can you tell the sun to rise and to set? Who do you think? Who do you think you are? And you're, oh, I'm so righteous and I'm so holy and this got to be this way and I've got to live so many years and I've got to live with in perfect harmony and peace with everybody for so many years and we've got to be in just a perfect, I tell somebody there ain't no such thing as a perfect church. Amen, Brother Preacher. And there ain't no such thing as perfect relationships. And there ain't no such thing as perfect marriages. And there ain't no such thing as perfect. The only perfect I ever knew was a man who died about 2,000 years ago. And they killed him and crucified him. And yet he was perfect and holy. Bless God, don't you ever try to come to God and say how holy and how righteous I am. God may just ask you, well, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I laid the foundation? Where were you at? Where were you at? Did you bother to speak to the eagle and cause him to soar on the air? I don't think so. God did all that. Did you? Let me ask you a question. Did anybody in this building bother when they woke up this morning to say, "All right, son, it's time for you to get up"? Can I tell you that God wanted to let Job know that God is still in control? And the same God that made the sun to rise, and the same God that caused the earth and is still causing there, we have a 24 hour day and it's still causing the earth to rotate in perfect alignment. It ain't moved yet. It ain't rotated. It ain't gone away yet. Bless God. It rotates in a perfect alignment and a perfect harmony. And bless God, if we live to see it, the sun will come up again tomorrow and it'll go down in the evening. And maybe there's some rain clouds and some wind clouds. We didn't bother with any of it. God didn't ask our opinion. He didn't have to get a committee. Didn't have to make a decision on it. Didn't have to call the board of deacons together and say, "Can I cause the sun to rise this morning?" No, He's God. He can do anything that He wants to do. And if God can see all of that, then God can see you and look through a dark cloud of sin in your life. David said it this way, Lord, in Psalms 139, "Lord, you have known me. You've known me. Everything that came out of my mouth, God, you've known it." But then he goes on toward the end and begins to pray and says, "God, I want you to examine my heart and know me and try my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into everlasting." I wish we would quit trying to hide from God and thank God that cannot see it. And if we do something in the closet, God can't see it. And if we do something within the confines of our home that God can't see it, God can see everything. He sees everything. And so I don't care if you're trying to hide it or not. There's some of you in here, I've drove by and you caught you doing something you weren't supposed to do, but you might have tried to hide it from me, but you didn't hide it from God. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. And you can't fool God any of the time. You cannot fool God any of the time. God can see through a dark cloud of sin. Can God see through a dark cloud of pain? A dark cloud of pain. I want you, if you will, you can turn here now, you can turn here later. I'm not going to necessarily read the text, but it's in Genesis chapter 16. Because in Genesis chapter 16 and in Genesis chapter 21, there is a spoken of a woman by the name of Hagar. Now, I understand Hagar, Brother Anthony. I understand biblically and doctrinally. We're supposed to preach Hagar like she's the great Babylonian whore, and that she's the one that she's the harlot, and she's the bondwoman, and we're supposed to cast her out. I know we're supposed to preach on her when we preach about sanctification and talk about how this, to cast out the bondwoman and her son and to get rid of the old nature and the old man. I know we're supposed to preach that way, but can I tell you, when I look at her in Genesis chapter 16, I see a woman, not anything else. I see a woman that has been condemned and she's been used and abused and cast to the side. That's all I see, is a woman that's been used and abused and tossed to the side. And she is alone by herself. There again, I know she was an Egyptian. I know that she didn't look like them. And I know she didn't act like them. And I know she didn't talk like them. And I know that she was a little bit different in her makeup from them. But she was still a human being. And she was still a human life. And yet, and many of us would say, "Well, God can condemn her. And God can flush her out. And God can..." Well, we don't want that kind in our church. We don't want that kind here. We don't want that kind that look a little different from us. And we don't want that kind that's a little different from us. Go ahead. We don't want that kind. Y'all go to some other kind of church. Can I tell you, God didn't treat that woman that way. Because that day when she was by herself, she recognized the God that saw her. In fact, she was messed up and abused so bad to the point that in chapter 21, she was going to leave her son for dead and say, God, let me not see the death of my son. But I like what it says in chapter 16. And the Lord came to her. It doesn't matter to me what kind of situation you're in. It doesn't matter to me what kind of heartbreak you've been through. Doesn't matter to me if you got one tattoo, three tattoos. Doesn't matter to me if you got 15 earrings on top of your head. Can I tell you, God can still come to you and show His grace and His mercy and His love. She was an Egyptian woman. She was a pagan woman. And yet God still came to her and show her mercy. No wonder she named the place where she met God Baal Lahai. That's the only thing she knew. She couldn't call him by Jehovah. She didn't know him by Jehovah. But she called him Baal Lahai, which means the God that sees me. The God that sees me. I came by to tell somebody this morning that God is looking at you. And He sees you. He sees you right where you are, with all of your pain, with all of your hurt, with all of your worry, with all of your confusion, with all of your wondering why. God sees you. He sees your life. Thank God that He looks as, aren't you thankful that the book said, what is the Son of Man that thou should visit Him? And the Son of Man that you should hear Him and see Him. And the Son of Man that you should visit Him. Thank God that He comes and He sees us and He looks at us. And every now and then, Brother Kirk, when He sees you in a mess, He'll come by and pull you out. He'll pull you out of the mess that's in your life. Thank God for the God that sees us, that He looks at our mess. No matter what the pain is we're going through, God is there. Can God see something? Can God look through a cloud of uncertainty? Can God look through a cloud of uncertainty? Can I tell you this morning, Jesus said it very plainly, we can't. He said it very plainly, that I can't look through a cloud of uncertainty. Because I don't know, because all I'll do is if I worry, and if I worry about something, all it's going to do is either cause it to turn gray, or turn loose. I can't look through a cloud of uncertainty, but bless God, God can. He said there again, if He's the one that clothed the lilies of the field, how much more is He going to take care of you? If His eye is on the sparrow, I know that He's watching me. Why should I be discouraged? Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Why should I go through difficulties? Or why should I have to worry about these things that are in my life? Bless God, I know that God is watching over me. I know that there's pain. I know that there are problems and situations. And Sister Ellen, we go through things that we don't understand. But all the while, God is right there. You know what? I thank God. I thank God, and I'm going to close with this. I thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I thank God for that one story, because if it were not for that one story, I don't think I could justify my point. But I can justify my point now. Because here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are tossed in the fire. God, an all-powerful God. And yet they're still caught tossed in the fiery furnace. They have a God that is able to deliver them, and they're still tossed in the fiery furnace. They've got a God that hung the stars and the moon and the sun and the earth, and yet they're still tossed in the fiery furnace. They've got a God that has caused the waters to stop at certain levels. Bless God, aren't you thankful that Harker's Island don't flood, but that God holds it with the water back with His hand? And yet they've got a God that is all powerful. We call Him in theology, we call Him omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. They had a God who was all of that and more. And yet, God let them go in the fiery furnace. God let them go through the fire. Job said it like this. He said, I looked to the left and I could not see You. I looked to the right and I perceived you not. I looked, Job was saying this, I looked everywhere for God. I look under rocks if I had to. I look around mountains and around hills. I look everywhere for God to try to find God, and I can't find him. But this is what he said. I like what he said. He said, I know that he knows my frame and the road that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come out as gold. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I know the night may be long, but bless God, at some point in time, God is going to bring joy. And I'm going to come out as gold. We don't need to have everything our way all the time. We don't need to have everything and be spoon-fed like a bunch of babies. We don't need all of that all the time because we never grow up. Bless God. God sends trials in our lives so that we can grow up, so we can trust in him. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm coming out as gold. Bless God. But here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here they are in the fire. And God does not deliver them. Same God, same one that had all the power beforehand, same one that ministered to Abraham, ministered to Moses. Moses saw him in the burning bush. Same God, the same exact God, and yet they went into the fire. But then Nebuchadnezzar with himself looked into the furnace and said, you know what? I thought we threw three men into the fire. But for some reason, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm counting 4 men, and one of them, now I don't know, I don't think he knew the Son of God from Adam, but he's, for some reason, the book said, and one of them looked like the Son of God. He may not deliver you out of your fire, but bless God, he'll join right in with you in your fire and go through your flame and go through your flood. He will be with you. He will. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I know, Sister Ellen, that I can go through some fire and still come out and not even smell like smoke, because God is with me. He's with me. He's with me. In my most difficult moments in my life, he is with me. I have never been through, and I pray I never will, been through what that man went through yesterday. But can I tell you, even as difficult is that, there is some consolation. Number one, thank God she was saved. And there's some consolation that God is with him, that he is carrying him through this. Of course, you remember the footprints poem of the two prints. And then there's the one set of prints. God, the man says, where are you, God? That was some of the most difficult time that I had to go through. And God said, it was there that I carried you and I picked you up. It is in our most difficult moments of our life that we feel like Job and say, God, where are you? But when we look back on it, God was carrying us the entire way. Brother Mike, I feel like singing that song, he was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Will you stand with me in this house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody begin to worship Him. Maybe you're going through something right now. Yes, Jesus. If you're lost in this place, if you're lost in this place,
He was there.
You need to know it this morning. He's there. He's there. He's there for you.
He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was there all the time.
Glory, hallelujah.
He was there.
Thank you, Jesus. He's there.
The time.
Even when you have questions, He's there.
Waiting patiently.
I want to set somebody free this morning. I really do. I want to set somebody free. And for those of you that are religious, this may not sound right to you, but I feel like I need to set somebody free. Too many of us have said, and we've been taught through the years, don't question God. Don't ask God why. Don't come to Him angry and upset. Don't vent to God. Don't you do it. It's just not right. That is a bunch of hogwash. If you're in this place, I give you liberty right now. You may have lost a loved one. And you're angry and upset and confused. I give you liberty right now to say, God, why did this have to happen? There are some of you that have gone through hell. I mean, literal just problems in your life, one after another, over and over and over again. I give you liberty right now to say, God, why? Too many of us have lived on high holy horses and we want to say, oh, we can't talk about it. It's taboo to talk about it. But can I tell you this morning, you'll never know what the freedom is. I told somebody the other day, it's all right to vent to God. He'll listen to you. He'll hear your cry. If you don't believe me, go back and read the book of Psalms. Half of them, God, David was praying, God, kill them and take them out of here. It's alright. It's alright. If you want to come crying, it's alright. If you want to come yelling and fussing, it's alright. If you want to come upset and confused, it's alright. There are things in my own life I'm still asking God, why, God? But every time I do, over and over again, God gives me just a little bit more freedom and a little bit more liberty and a little bit more hope. Does it make the situation any better? Maybe not necessarily, but it makes me a little bit better. This morning, I don't know. I need to talk to some honest folk. I need to talk to some honest folk. Maybe you're lost in here. And the reason you're not saved is because daddy's gone. Or the reason you're not saved is because this is happening in your life. And how can a God that is a God of love could take somebody out of my life like that? How could a God of love cause me to go through such financial difficulty or through cancer or whatever? And you need to come down here and you need to say, God, why? God, I don't understand. But I'm willing to repent and I'm willing to learn of you. I'm willing to learn of you. God, I want to come with a humble heart and I want to learn of you, God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved. and there are still some questions in your life. God, why did this have to happen? God, couldn't you see through a dark cloud and see this thing coming? I want to tell you this morning, God's already seen it. God looked through the dark cloud and he saw it coming. And at some point in time, he's going to get glory out of it. He's going to get glory. But you need to come.